All
Hello
right,
again.
bud. Yes,
I'm
welcome.
back.
Welcome back, Dalton.
Hey, hey.
All right, everybody. Welcome the boys. We got Chris.
Yep.
We got Dalton.
What's going on?
And we got me, the wearing a bit of the goat's horns here this evening, boys. I'd like to apologize. We recorded last night. I know all the loyal fans were foaming at the mouth for the podcast on Saturday, but we recorded it and then I deleted all the audio. So now we are back recording it one day later.
Mm-hmm. Episode 2.5.
Yeah, it was definitely an Oilers rebuild moment there. Woof.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. So even though we did watch the Oilers lose to the Predators, I still think we have to address the Oilers' huge comeback win over the Jets. Not a big deal.
It was easy. No worries. Wasn't concerned at all.
Yeah, well, the Jets did take the third period off, so.
Yeah, they took a third period off against Connor McDavid.
Oh, man. God.
I get real hot and bothered when I think about him.
Oh, my God.
The way he moves, man, it's just, oh, he man. Does something to me.
I know, that for boy. Real. Ooh. The way he handles the puck, them soft hands, wow. So
this episode is also going to be a McDavid episode.
Yes.
Episode is going to be a McDavid episode.
Yeah, you're bold to assume that every episode isn't going to be exactly. but seriously, Chris, how do you feel? Like, obviously from Winnipeg, they took that third period off.
Well, I mean, you know, scoring the goal, I think it's, you know, starting the third period and not really being into the game and getting that goal scored on you within the first minute. And then, Andrew Kopp took a ridiculous penalty, just the stupidest penalty you ever want to take. Oilers score on the power play there, and then it was just off to the races. I think, the Jets didn't lose. I think the Jets lost two games last year when leading, heading into the third period. So that was quite an accomplishment for the Oilers, for sure.
Yeah. Dalton, how about you? I mean, Oilers standpoint, obviously a huge comeback.
Yeah, it was a great game. I almost stopped watching that one after the second. So
yeah,
was...
not lying.
Yeah, it was nice to get a little bit of a reward for sticking around. It's too bad that didn't happen again last night, but that's fine.
Yeah. But that's not yet. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I mean, I did pick Nashville to win the conference and not Winnipeg. So, I mean, maybe Nashville's on a different level. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, after watching both games, right, because obviously Winnipeg has a good D core, but then you watch Nashville and they are in a whole other tier of themselves when it comes to defense. Just the team defense they played against McDavid. McDavid was just like fumbling the puck all over the place.
The way they tied
him up. And then, to bring it back to Winnipeg, you kind of can tell where their defense needs to be to shut down McDavid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Nashville has probably the best decor in the league. So it wasn't, you can't go into every game expecting a win, but you can hope. So.
Mm-hmm. And then the Jets though beat the Coyotes on Saturday.
Yes.
And yeah, how did you? Clayton. They almost gave it up though too. Keller sniped Brassois twice.
Yeah, but I actually want to thank you guys for Brassois because. I think he's a great defender or a great goaltender. I'm really happy for the first time. I don't feel nervous about Winnipeg Jets goaltending. Even last year, even though Hellebuck was amazing, we had like three just utter trash backup goaltenders. Eric Comrie, thanks a lot, Edmonton. That piece of crap. Have you seen the eyes on that kid? That's frightening. Chilling to your core.
He looks scared when you just zoom in on his helmet. His eyes look like he's permanently terrified.
Oh, man. Then we had Mason, who had 17 concussions. And
also had that amazing opening game against Toronto last season.
Yeah, but that was the only thing he did. And then Hutchinson, who's just garbage. So,
well, Hutchinson's now getting lit up for the Panthers.
Sure he is, because he sucks.
Yeah.
somebody said on my chat board, he said about Brassard, he said, buying low on players coming out of the factory of sadness that is the Edmonton Oilers is always a good idea.
Well, the thing is with Brassard, he just looked like utter, like he had no confidence in the net every single time the Oilers played.
Oh my goodness. That game against Calgary where we were like winning 7-3 or something like that. Dude, and then they almost came back. You went?
Yeah, I was at that game, and I was just riding it so high, and then all of a sudden, the goals just started coming in on Brassois, and I was getting real concerned.
Yeah.
Luckily, they managed to pull that one out, but it pretty much, like, shattered any faith I had in him.
Yeah, he's a different goalie this year. Even the Coyotes game, I mean, you couldn't say that he let in a weak goal.
He got sniped.
Mm-hmm. That one, like, I don't know what Myers was doing. Like, Myers was, like, going for a leisurely skate up the wall and left Keller by himself for about 17 minutes. So like he could totally pick his corner, and he did. And then the other one was through a screen, and again it was like just shelf. But Brassois, I can't even say his name properly yet. It's going to take me a while. He reminds me a lot of Hellebuyck, and I think that's a lot to do with the coach he has. He has the same coach as Connor Hellebuyck, who really transformed his game last offseason. He stays up. He doesn't get shaken when he gets scored on. He's really, really quiet. His feet are really quiet. He's got a really good push from to either side of the net. And I'm feeling really confident about the Jets goaltending.
I'm really glad to hear Vasquez actually doing well. Like, I got nothing against the guy. I was really hoping he was going to be something for Edmonton. So it's good to see he's doing it. Only in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Honestly, it's Edmonton has done this so many. Edmonton has done this so many times with, just people over the years that like you're almost accustomed to seeing me like this person like just being like, oh, they're so bad at Edmonton, and then immediately after we send them away, they're good. And like with a like exception to a few players that I still hate, even though we got rid of them. But like most of the players we send away, like Justin Schultz. Now two-time Stanley Cup champion Justin Schultz. And like just guys like that we've sent away. Tyler Pitlick and honestly Dallas has looked good.
Yeah. That one to me is inexcusable that we let Tyler Pitlick walk.
Yeah, like, I agree.
He had his injury issues, but he was the one guy that season that
he was a beast. He was a beast bottom six player. Like he scored 20 goals on the third line.
And he could play with McDavid, too. That was the thing. Like, the games he had with McDavid, it's like Ratty now. And the thing is, it wasn't like he got overpaid by Dallas. He's making, like, 1.5 mil. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, he's playing at a pretty decent level. And I just don't understand why Edmonton just let him walk for nothing. Again, this just keeps happening.
Yeah.
It seems like you guys have really good amateur scouting. But your pro scouting and your coaching is obviously leaving a lot to be desired. And I don't know, when you guys change your coach, do you guys generally like clean house or do you keep people kicking around?
When it comes to like when we fire the coach or general manager, because general manager, it actually seems like most like the scouts and stuff all stay the same. Like Keith Gretzky and all that stuff has been the assistant GM through like everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the head scout was the one that really pushed Torelli at the start to go for Griffin Reinhart before Torelli really had taken over too much. And that's, I can't remember what his name was, but he stayed around. He's been the head scout for quite a number of years. It's only now that recently, after that blunder that the Griffin Reinhart trade was, that he actually kind of got demoted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'm saying, like, I don't think your amateur scouting, I think your amateur scouting is really good. Although I will say when you're picking so high every year, you should be able to pick some pretty good players.
Yeah. It's pretty hard to guess wrong. Mm-hmm.
But there's something really dysfunctional about the organization itself. And I wish I knew what it was, but there's something like, because your team is never the sum of its parts, right? And then you see other teams who end up doing a lot more with a lot less. I don't know. It's quite the quandary. And I wonder if you guys have any thoughts of what's going on.
Oh, where to start?
Part of the reason is there's so much still old boys club. Yeah.
like, Old Boys Club is definitely probably the place to start.
Like, I remember go ahead.
No, but what I was going to say is, I mean, when I lived in Edmonton and I followed the Jets when the Jets were out of the league. I was in Edmonton, as a matter of fact, in 2006, I think was obviously the best post Stanley Cup Edmonton Oilers team that you've had. Mm-hmm. That team was amazing. And that team was constructed by Kevin Lowe. So that's you can't get much more Old Boys Club than that.
Yeah.
Right. And that was back in the Pocklington days.
Yeah. The thing is, Kevin Lowe was such a polarizing figure even still, because he was a great defenseman for the Oilers. So initially everyone's loving him, right? And then he goes and builds that Stanley Cup finalist team that did quite well. But then after that, it just seems like there was just problem after problem after problem with him. And it really just started with the Pronger walking, right? And
I think if you can pinpoint the downfall and into the decade of darkness with that pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the team he built in 06 was just a team that was punching way higher than it should have been, way above its weight class. And then he wasn't really that good of a GM, just kind of got lucky for one season. It's a little hard to tell with him, right? But
leave it to the Oilers fans. Still trying to be breaking down their last moment of triumph.
Always look 10 years backwards. That's what I would say.
I think I can tell you guys what happened to your team like recently within the last few years. I really feel like I'm a firm believer in drafting BPA, and I think you guys probably are too. But that doesn't mean you have to keep those players, right? They're assets. So if you take the best player, obviously it's going to be a more lucrative asset to get what you want. And I think that, first of all, you guys waited too long to address need, which was defense, and obviously still is defense. And then when you did start moving some of those players, you moved the wrong players and you squandered like the result of those trades. So that's what I think would happen. Does that sound accurate to you guys?
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. The only thing I would add to that is I think the organization as a whole, at least in the last 3-4 years here since Torelli got hired, has actually done quite a good job at drafting in general.
Yeah, I agree.
With the rise of Ethan Bear coming up as, I think, a fifth-round pick.
And McLeod. McLeod's looked great.
McLeod is the second-round pick of this most recent draft. Yeah, he's going to be something special, that kid. And Yamamoto as well, actually, at 22nd, almost making the team a little bit in his first year.
That's right. Now
playing with McDavid on the first line. Oh,
his first goal in Boston was a snipe.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a pretty first one.
Yeah, well, it felt good to, you know, get the the blackness of 2006 out of the way.
Hashtag over those positives.
exactly. All right, boys, couple of headlines. So, introducing our first segment of the show after the Oilers ramblings, which is segment one, we're going to go to some headlines. So you guys see the link to Carolina's Selly at their home games.
Carolina's Selly.
Yeah, where they do their Viking clap and then bag skate into the end of the boards.
The 1980 Miracle on Ice Team USA-esque celebration.
Yes, exactly.
How do you feel?
Celebration. I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it. I love the fact that hockey is moving away a bit from the traditional say the right things. Hockey players are really they're almost prim and proper. Like in the interviews, they always say the same things and do the same things. And I like the fact that the NHL is kind of evolving a little bit and becoming more exciting, but at the same time, it seems a little gimmicky to me. It seems like, hey, we're Carolina. We're desperate to get fans. We're going to like be like Vegas, like that ridiculous pomp and circumstance that is like the Vegas pregame show. Like, I don't know. I'm not all about that at all.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. I'm kind of surprised the NHL is moving away from the prim and proper interviews. Because even when I was growing up, I went to a couple hockey schools in my youth because I was okay at hockey once upon a time. And even there, like, we were coached. We had a class on how to take interviews and how to talk to the media and how to do all that kind of stuff. So I'm a little surprised that these elite players are actually deviating away from that quite a bit. Like, especially with Mr. Patrick Laine being the shining example of that.
Oh, my goodness. Patrick Laine roasted the entire Canucks organization.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they suck. I'm sorry. If anybody's a Canucks fan, they probably shouldn't listen to this podcast because I probably don't hate any team more than I hate the Vancouver Canucks.
Wow. Wow. Just get rid of, like, any potential listeners there in one fell swoop.
Sorry. I'll go to bat for Vancouver a little bit. Like, I don't hate them as much as, you know, Calgary or...
Or Anaheim. Anaheim's a big one for me.
Ugh. My God.
Let's just get rid of all the listeners. Get rid of all of them. We hate every team.
You're not a fan of the Oilers and the Jets at the same time. I'm sorry you can't listen to this podcast.
So wait. So if you scratch Calgary Flames jersey, do you smell shit?
That's what I imagine. It's like flaming a scratch. Shit, it's like a scratch and sniff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know the old prank where you light a bag of shit on fire on somebody's doorstep and ring the doorbell.
Hey, wait! Is there like a game on?
Flames jerseys.
But on the topic of A1 segues, speaking of Vancouver, how do we feel about the Matheson on the Pettersson hit? Because Chris, I know you watched it initially, and then when you watched it a couple more times, and you actually changed your mind on it.
Yeah, I did. I saw a couple different angles, and obviously, the intent there was to slam him to the ground. He says that, you know, I've never my intent to, like, hurt somebody, but I'm sorry. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Body slam the guy. Like, and he's like, what, 160 pounds?
Yeah.
You're going to hurt him. Like, well, come on.
It's really, you can see it. It's just a player reacting out in a moment of anger, right? Making a bad decision. I absolutely think that he should get a game or two, but it's like, I don't really know if it's indicative of who Matheson is as a player as a whole, because I don't really watch a lot of Florida games. I don't really see them too
Matheson's
much.
Not really like that. I watch a couple of Florida Panther games. He's not really like that. But like honestly, the reason he did it is if you just watch like 6 seconds before he does it, Pettersson dangles his jock into the third row with like he doesn't even use his hands. He just does like a quick like hip pivot, the tomahawks, and just. Like, Matheson's, like, his legs go to jelly, and, like, he falls over. And then Pettersson picks up the puck in the corner, and he's mad because he just got looked like an idiot. And he definitely knows that that highlight's going to be going for weeks, and he's going to see himself get dangled every day when he goes on Twitter. That he skates into the corner, and then Batista bombs Pettersson through the ice.
And thus ensuring that everyone sees it for many months to come now.
Exactly. So, Chris, you agree with the two games?
I do. Yeah, no, I think it's fair.
So you wouldn't go any higher, though?
No, first offense. And like you said, I mean, I don't think he's that type of player, but it's still not acceptable, right? I think I don't know if you guys remember, I can't remember if it was last season or season before, Dustin Byfuglien in front of the net basically drove his stick in through the head of somebody when they were on the ice. He got basically cross-checked them on top of them, and I think he got a two-game suspension for that too. So I think it's kind of fair.
Yeah, and Dalton, do you think two as well?
One or two. I'd probably lean more towards one game, but it's at the end of the day, one or two games. It's not a huge deal, the difference. So.
Yeah, I agree, especially because Pettersson got a concussion on the play.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. I mean, he injured him. It wasn't a good hockey play. So, yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, the NHL really shouldn't be taking into account whether the player was injured or not on the play. Like, if it's a dirty play, it's going to be a dirty play whether or not the guy manages to take the knee on knee and then be okay afterwards. Like, Jamie Benn the other day took a knee on knee. He was fine. Pop jumped right up afterwards and fought the guy. But in my mind, that's just as bad as, I can't remember. I think Taylor Hall got injured once playing for the Oilers, taking a pretty bad knee on knee.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's...
Speaking of that fight, did you guys see the Jamie Benn Miles Wood fight?
was a good tilt.
Oh my goodness. That is like, Chris, did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh my goodness. It was, people are talking about how hockey's not like that anymore. This was an old school fight. Like at one point, Jamie Benn was fighting from one knee and then got back up.
Yeah.
Like, it was incredible.
Miles Wood did much better than I expected him to.
Oh no, dude. I totally see Miles Wood is the same, in maybe not the same skill level as Jamie Benn, but the same play style as Jamie Benn.
Really?
Yeah. He's like a real fast, skilled guy that goes straight to the front of the net and then just cross checks everyone. Sort of like Ryan Smith.
Ah, all right. So, I could use one of those.
Oh my. Oh. I cried when he left, but we don't want to go. We can't go back. We can't go back.
I have a Ryan Smith story for you guys one day. I'll just stick it in my back pocket.
Oh, okay. Oh, a little teaser.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Well, actually, I actually have a Ryan Smith story as well. So nice. Maybe we might have to have a little whole Ryan Smith episode.
Yeah, a little special.
You know, maybe if we get like far enough to 94, 94 episodes. Whew.
Ooh, episode 94.
So, all right, there you go. That is a teaser for episode 94. Stick around till then.
Also remind us because we'll forget.
Exactly. Okay.
Right,
so
hold on. Yeah. Though. Are we taking into account all the podcasts that you accidentally delete?
Well, if he also deletes this one, the next episode will be episode 2.75.
Right, right. So it'll take us a lot longer to get there.
And I will not be part of it.
All right, I wonder where I went. Exclusively Oilers podcast then.
Oh no. It would just be the only, it just, we'd have like four listeners and it'd just be our dads.
Yeah.
Oh,
McDavid,
man.
McDavid.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So on to the next topic then. We got the Austin Watson suspension.
Yeah.
So if you guys, as a listener, don't know what the Austin Watson suspension is, he basically, over the summer, he got arrested for assault and, domestic abuse.
Yeah.
And then the league suspended him 27 games. And he appealed because he can do that through the NHL Player Association. And the independent arbitrator actually knocked his sentence down to 18 games. And then his girlfriend came out and said that it was actually her fault.
Yeah, which really, yeah, it puts a very sour mood on what was already a very sour thing. It's not good, to say the least.
Yeah.
And like straight up, like I don't think the suspension should have been reduced. And I was actually looking at the arbitrator, and it seems the NHL actually can't fire him until next year at June.
Oh, really? Yeah, because that's right. I was heard they were trying to remove him their arbitrator.
Yeah, but apparently there's some sort of contract thing with him. So yeah, so basically he's sticking around for at least another year.
Wow. Okay, Chris, any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much about it. I'm pretty upset about the whole thing. I'm upset about the girlfriend. I'm upset that they reduced the suspension, but obviously that's not the NHL's doing. And it's funny because I really don't have a lot of faith in the NHL's officiating or their player safety division. I'm using big air quotes, but I think they actually got this suspension right. So it's pretty disappointing all around.
Yeah, I agree. There's really not much to be said about it. I think that shouldn't have been knocked down. But you guys are okay then with him? Because I know a couple people have said that they think that like he got arrested for not a dirty hockey play, for just doing something illegal. So he shouldn't be able to play in the NHL at all.
Well, I would disagree with that. And you could even look at the Oilers as an example. Like Craig McTavish drunk drove back in, I think, the 90s and ended up killing somebody.
Oh,
and
wow.
Served a year in jail and then was allowed back into the league afterwards.
Oh, no. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. So, and he's gone on to have, like, quite a successful career in the NHL, even though, like, we'll not talk about how much we didn't like him in the Oilers for a bit.
Yeah.
But that being said, he went on. He never committed any more crimes. He was an upstanding member of the community from then on. So I'm all for giving second chances to these guys. But like, there's got to be some sort of remorse, some sort of, he's got to serve his sentence, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's much left to be said on that. Anything else, boys? Any other headlines you want to talk about squeaking there?
Oh, gotta talk about Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson. I thought we talked. Did we talk about it on the first one?
We did, but he had his. That's right.
Oh, I heard that it took like 7 hours or something.
Yeah, it was an insane amount of time.
That's right. So I haven't heard. Is there results? I don't know.
It's apparently coming on like Wednesday, but I think we should play a fun game of guess how many games his suspension is going to be reduced by.
Ooh, that's a good one. Chris, Dolphin, go.
I'll start. I think that his suspension will be reduced by 5 games down to 15.
Less than Austin Watson's.
Yes, I think the NHL basically has to do that, even though it will be an independent arbitrator. I think that's what's going to happen, especially if you look at some of the longer suspensions as well, like the Weidman suspension.
That's right, yeah.
Where I think he initially got 28 games or something like that, and it got reduced down to like 22.
Ooh, look at you doing your research.
He says randomly coming up with numbers off the top of his head.
Yeah, so Chris, what do you think? How many games?
I don't think there's going to be any reduction.
No.
Ooh, why not?
Because he's a serial offender.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, He is a serious offender.
Mm-hmm. Serial offender, bad hit.
Yeah, bad hit. I think I gotta agree with you, Dalton. I think they're gonna reduce it to. I'm gonna go a little off the board and say 12.
12 they're, games.
They're, yeah, they're, I think they're going to reduce it by, what is that, 7? 8.
I think it was 20, the original one. So.
Yeah, so 8, look at that. I can do
it. Well done.
I'm in college, no big deal.
And also, welcome back, Chris.
Yes, welcome back, Chris.
It only happened once, though. It's pretty great.
Yeah, only one.
Problem. And it was only for, like, a minute, too.
Yeah. All right, boys. Now we're gonna go on to our next segment of the pod. The view around the league. What should we call it? The league in review.
Sure, that works.
The league in review. And so first off, I'd like to say that I have a theory, and this is gonna be a bit of a tangent.
All right.
We have a jinx on the podcast. Because if we go back to last episode, not the one that was deleted, the one we actually published. Chris was talking shit about the Jets versus Oilers. Oilers won. Then, if you'll recall, when we in the episode that was destroyed, I said Detroit wasn't going to win a game until the end of the month. They won last night.
Yeah, like literally hours after the podcast was lost.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then I said that I think I was saying something about though I did say was going to lose this whole week.
Yeah.
But that's on pace.
They are.
I love it.
But then.
And you still started Freddie Anderson in your fantasy.
I still started. Yeah.
He still got shut out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very true. And then I said the Oilers were going to beat the Preds, and the Oilers lost. Mm-hmm. So I think there might be a little bit of a podcast jinx. So we'll have to keep that in mind. But So we'll just go around. Let's think. Montreal lost to Ottawa, and that was one of our points yesterday, that Ottawa's rookies are rolling, even without Tkachuk for a month.
Yeah, they played well, and Montreal was up 3-1 in that game before. I think Ottawa stormed back and won it 4-3 in overtime.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is too bad, because I was feeling all high and mighty about my Carey Price carrying the team production.
That's right.
Man.
But yeah, I wonder how many points Mr. Maxime Lelejo, or however in the hell you say his name.
Yeah, that's right. He's looked pretty good. I won't say, I think him and DeMello and the way Shabbat has kind of emerged as like a really good D-man. Did you see the way he dangled all those defenders in the Toronto game?
No, I think I missed it. It's too bad.
Oh my goodness. He like walked in from the blue line and like put it between the guy's legs and then sniped Freddie. They're and then the fact that they're winning, and I think they're slowly filling the large hole that Erik Karlsson left.
Yeah, like the Senators have done quite well considering like everything that's going on with them, right?
Yeah, yeah. But Craig Anderson also is having one of his bounce back years.
Yeah, yeah. Vezina caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Just this season, though. Yeah. Last season, not next season.
I think all the crazy can really rally a team too, especially if they're everybody's just saying that they're gonna suck and be bottom of the league and stuff like that. Sometimes that can really motivate a group and bring them together. So we know that hockey is a lot more than just the players you put on the ice. It's team. It's playing together. It's emotion. It's confidence. It's so many different things, and that's what makes it unpredictable.
Well, and even in Ottawa, there's such a culture change from last year to this year with, like, the guys they moved out of the offseason, the rookies they're promoting. Like, they're just an entirely different team now. I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a little bit of a push this year.
They're also trying really hard not to be bad since Colorado gets their first-round pick this season. That
is also very true.
Melnick probably went into the dressing room and was like, boys, we got to help Dorian. If we finish last and we give the first-round pick to Colorado, Dorian will be tarred and feathered in the streets.
Oh man, see, I want Ottawa to do well because I like kind of like them a little bit and always like to root for the underdog. But then also, that'd be so funny if they finished dead last and lost and then won the lottery.
You just want to see, the residents of Ottawa burn Ottawa to the ground.
I mean, a little bit, yeah.
Ruthless.
Just because I think it'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. And then, Chris, you were talking about switching to the Devils, Palmieri, and how they torched the Oilers. And the rest of the league, actually.
I was not talking about that.
About Palmieri?
Talk to me dirty about Palmieri.
Yeah, come on.
What?
Talk to me dirty about Palmieri. I know you can do it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Palmieri, he is insanity. 7 goals in his team's first 4 games, that man.
Yeah, he's been – Kyle Palmieri has been – when he scored on that first shot of the first – in the first game, I started sweating.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, that man has the Rocket Richard on lock. We all thought it was going to go to Ty Ratty in the preseason, you know, playing with McDavid, putting up many goals.
Hey, listen, even though he's injured, it still could.
That's true. Ty Ratty, the answer on IR now. Very sad.
Though, good goal scoring, though. I'm pretty sure, isn't Matthews in the lead right now?
That sounds right, but also Toronto's got shut out, like, the last couple of games in a row.
So... Yeah, he hasn't scored two games in a row. I mean, I guess I hope the Matthews hype will die down a little bit. But
just because I hate how much of the comparison between him and McDavid.
Oh, my goodness. I was watching Hockey Night in Canada last night, and all it was... McDavid or Matthews.
And
Brian Burke was like, you know, maybe one day Matthews will pass McDavid. No, never gonna happen.
It is Austin Matthews though leading the NHL in goals currently.
Yeah, I thought so.
And points.
Yeah.
It's all right. McDavid hasn't played the same number of games.
He's not leading the league in points per game though.
Matthews?
No.
Or McDavid?
Yeah, Matthews is not. It's actually Evgeny Malkin leading the league in points per game, followed by McDavid and Matthews.
How many points per game does Malkin have?
He's 2 points per game. He's put up 12 points in 6 games so far.
Oh, wow.
Malkin.
Well, that's because he's been feeding Kessel on the power play.
Yeah, and Crosby doesn't know how to score.
That's right. Thank God.
Yeah, also something. 0 goals for Crosby so far.
Yeah. What's going on? Chris, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't put a lot of stock into this time of the year. I think people get excited about wins and who's leading this and who's leading that. I think the vets, they're just playing themselves into shape right now. So I'm not too worried about it. And wasn't Crosby like struggling to score last year a little bit too, though?
Yeah, he sometimes just doesn't score for a while. And then he'll like score like, you know, hat tricks.
Not last year, but the year before that, when he won the Richard, there was like he had only scored like 3 goals since December, and then they were like, "Oh, Crosby's finished. That's it." And then he ended up winning the Richard with 44.
Yeah, I remember seeing all that. Is Crosby done? Concussions have got to him, and then he just lights up the entire league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Crosby. He's on another level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I'm a Penguins,
I mean, do you honestly think that Morgan Riley's going to be the leader in scoring for defensemen at the end of the year? Like, let's get real.
No
He's
way.
A good defenseman, but come on, it's not going to happen.
I could actually see it.
You think?
He's in like kind of a unique position where he gets to benefit so much from basically any forward line he's playing with that he's getting power play time. He's getting time with Matthews, getting time with Tavares, he's getting time with all of them, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to be the best defenseman in the NHL. I don't think he's the best defenseman in the NHL by far. Like, I don't know. He's probably not even top 20 in my mind. But I think he probably could win the point race for the defenseman.
Who do you think?
Is it bold prediction time?
Well, no, I don't know. That sounds like one. Are you going to stand by it?
Yeah, I could stand by that.
All right. First hot take of the night. Elton thinks Morgan Riley wins. Do you think he wins the Norris?
No, not a chance.
But you think he wins the pit race for defenseman?
Yes.
Who do you think is going to win then, Chris?
I don't know, man. Maybe Carlson.
Yeah,
Carlson.
Could be Carlson. Mm. Could be Hedman. Could be what's his name from the Stars? Heiskanen.
What about Klingberg, buddy?
Oh, Klingberg. Never mind. Yeah, Klingberg.
Oh. Oh. Man, that was in full on, in motion death.
That's what he gets for disagreeing with me.
You used your black magic.
Mm-hmm. Banished him from this podcast.
Yeah, but so I can't go with Carlson winning the point race for defenseman just purely because I said that he was gonna have his worst year yet.
Yeah, that kind of go against your hot take.
Yeah, so I'm gonna stick with my hot take. Man, I really painted myself into a corner here.
You
but
can
I
go
think
with the other Carlson,
the other William Carlson.
No, John Carlson.
John. Oh, ooh, that's a good pick. I think I like that pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You said wait. Eric Carlson or John Carlson?
John Carlson. Capital.
Oh, I thought you were picking Eric Carlson.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, shit, no.
Oh, although I like your John Carlson pick better.
Yeah.
He could. No, sorry, I meant John Carlson.
Yeah, I think Eric Carlson's points are going to be a little bit less this year just because he's not going to get quite the same amount of ice time he got in Ottawa.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also Eric Carlson, so who knows?
Okay, so then I'm going to go with one off the board. I think the Coyotes are going to actually turn out to do really well this season. Ekman-Larsson. I think Ekman-Larsson is going to maybe explode this year. The Coyotes do. He'll be a big reason. So I'm going to guess first hot takes for the night, Eric Carlson wins the defenseman point race.
You realize the Coyotes can't score goals, right? Yeah. You know that.
But I think Dylan Strome's going to remember he's supposed to be good at hockey, and they're gonna turn out to be really good.
Oh, that's another conversation. Is Dylan Strome a bust, or is he, like, just almost there? It's kind of – for a third overall pick from the McDavid draft, he really hasn't done all that much yet.
Yeah, that's the McDavid effect, though.
That's true. He was playing with McDavid.
Yeah,
the entire time. But yeah. Man, look at that drop off though. You got McDavid, then you have Eichel, and then Strome.
Yeah, but like, who went after him though?
Oh man, what draft was that? 2015 draft?
Yeah. Into the Google.
Keyboard going.
Oh yeah, mechanical keyboard, man. Mitch Marner.
Ooh, see
Noah
that one.
Hanifin, Ivan Provorov, Pavel Zacha, Zach Werenski, Mikko Rantanen. Oh my God, Brock Besser, Matthew Barzal. Jeez,
Matthew should have been Oiler Barzal.
don't talk.
Man, but yeah, Coyotes like if they took The Coyotes, if they had taken literally anyone else, their team probably would have been better than it is.
Yeah, like Jake DeBrusque, Kyle Connor for Jets pick. Tommy Chabot.
Kyle Connor may end up being the best of the bunch. Well, not McDavid.
Yeah. I was going to say, watch yourself. One day,
might happen.
It's punching a little high. Ilya Samsonov, the goalie from taken by Washington, that's just lighting it up in the KHL right now.
Yeah, that's right. But actually, on the Jets fact, because we talked about it yesterday, but we didn't talk about it much today. What's going on with the Jets offense?
They're scoring goals.
Well, I mean, but it seems like Laine and your first two lines are only scoring on the power play. 5-on-5, they're getting victimized.
Yeah, 5-on-5. I don't think the team is necessarily playing that well, 5-on-5. I think it's a hangover from the playoffs. I think they need to, you know, you can say all the right things going into the next season. Oh, we're going to, you know, play the way we played last year and all that. But I think mentally you feel like you had such a successful season, 114 points.
Yeah.
They made it to the Western Conference final. They just feel like they can just start playing and they're going to be right there again. They forgot that they worked really hard to get there. So I'm just seeing a lot of, like, even, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler turning the puck over, like, 2 feet away from the blue line. You know, Laine looks – you guys mentioned it, too. Laine looks kind of slow to me, even though he did lose a lot of weight in the offseason. And he looked quicker in preseason, but now he just doesn't handle the puck the way he used to. And I mentioned this in the deleted podcast – but I really feel like that big hit that he suffered and that concussion in his rookie season changed him as a player. And he, even though he scored 44 goals last year, he's not the same player he was.
Yeah, that's right. He has been skating around looking a little timid.
Yeah, he just doesn't carry the puck with the kind of confidence. You know, he doesn't move with speed. He doesn't seem to be as agile with the puck as he used to be. I've seen flashes of it this year, but not nearly like he was electrifying in his rookie season. And that element of his game is missing.
The thing is, though, he's still quite young, so he has plenty of time to get himself back to where he was before.
And he's still going to be a 50 goal scorer. So even if he ends up being a one dimensional 50 goal scorer who's lethal on the power play, that's still a really good tool to have in your toolbox.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the Jets' power play with him on it just looks so good every single time.
Yeah, that's how Ovechkin was for a while before, like when he was still young, right? He was just like, they always talk about him being like a liability, 5-on-5. But then he scores 50 goals on the power play, and like, you're like, well.
Yeah. It's hard to really find too much fault in Laine, because he is still that elite guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to be that elite guy for his entire career.
So you think you guys will think he's going to bounce back?
Yeah, you're not going to hear a hot take from me here.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris, you think he's coming back?
I'm sorry, say it again.
You think Laine will bounce back?
I think he will. I think he will. I think he has to. He's such an elite talent, and he's got such a desire to be a great player that I think guys like that always find a way. He's just got to figure out how to get over what happened to him. I think a head injury like that is really devastating and scary. So I think it takes a while to get over that.
Yeah. But then what's going on with, like, Ehlers? Because Ehlers is I don't think Ehlers has scored this season.
That is a really good question. A lot of people are asking. He's been passing the puck way too much. He's been passing the puck when he's been in good scoring areas. And I don't understand why, because he's got a really great shot. He's so fast. I just don't think the chemistry on that line is there. Although I will say the last couple of games, I think that they're starting to play better together. Like, they had a really great sequence where Little scored a goal. That was really great, where all three players on that line touched the puck. I just think that Maurice loves to split up the first line and the third line, which leaves you with, you know, Little, Line A, and Ehlers. And I just, they tried that last year and it just didn't seem to work. It's like they're forcing a square peg into a round hole.
So what you're saying is, because I have been holding on to Ehlers in my fantasy pool, is I should keep him.
Oh, you should 100% keep him. The guy's a supreme talent. He's gonna get his points.
Man, you should drop him so I can pick him up.
No way. I haven't won a game yet this whole season. I think I'm 0-3 now.
Oh, you were looking like you're gonna win this one.
Oh yeah. I mean, what can you say? I guess I just like the Oilers, I only have McDavid. But like that's seriously all it was. Like I lost last week, and like that's when McDavid put up like 9 points in a week, and I looked at it. I still lost, and I was like, "Well, guess this is the way." Yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, on to our final segment for the evening. This is I call it the boiler room because we produce scalding hot takes. Scalding hot takes.
Scalding scolding takes.
Yes, scalding, scolding takes. Dalton, shoot me with a hot take.
Here we go. Maximine Lelijo?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, geez. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. That high-flying stud from Ottawa. He will win the Calder Trophy for the Rookie of the Year this year.
Wow. That is I hope people are keeping track of this because that is hot one. Chris, you got any thoughts on a hot take?
So, you know, first of all, I'd like to say that it's funny how Dalton's hot take changed from last to deleted.
Yeah.
Where he said that Carey Price was going to win the Hart Trophy and the what else did you say he was going
to
do?
And the Vezina, and he's going to carry the Canadians to the President's Trophy and a bunch of stuff. We don't need to talk about that.
You really, went all in on that one.
Man, I had a lot of man love for Carey Price then.
I think, and I'll just repeat what I said last time, I think that Ethan Bear is going to be in your top four by the end of the year.
That's right.
It's pretty solid hot take there.
It's
warm. It's a warm take because I think it's possible, and hot takes seem like they're mostly impossible.
I see. So it's more like, you know, like a cup of tea that's like burning your tongue still, but it's not like molten lava.
Yeah, like you know, like a hot tub where you're slightly uncomfortable, but you're not going to get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like one of those. I'll take it. Though I will say the Oilers did just call up Kevin Gravel when they put who was it, Benning on the IR.
Yeah, that is true.
And so why didn't they call up? They didn't call up Bear, which I was surprised.
It's a long season, bro.
Yeah,
they probably want to give up that minutes, team. Right?
Yeah,
that's true.
I think Bouchard's getting sent down after his 9, so after that, they're going to call it Bear for the season.
I don't know. Bouchard last night, even though the Oilers lost to the Predators, I think Bouchard looked really good on the power play.
Yeah, that boy's looking like a stud.
There was one play where McDavid just laid it off, and he lasered one high, but the velocity that he hit it with, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I just don't think he's that much better than Ethan Bear. So why burn a year of his entry-level contract if you don't have to? I kind of think the Oilers are getting at. I would like to see him up the entire year just because I think he's sweet, but yeah.
So you're going to send him back to juniors where he's going to put up an ungodly amount of points.
Yeah, I would be okay with that.
I will say, did you notice last night, Dalton, because I know you were watching the game, as was I, Klefbom couldn't handle the keep the puck at the blue line for anything. Like his hands turned to stone and the puck literally bounced off of his stick. Key points when we needed to keep it in. Just on like easy passbacks, he could not hold the zone.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. 4 or 5 times it happened last night. Yeah, he just get the pass to the blue line, pop over his stick. Guess what? Out of the zone.
Oh my goodness. And there were a few times there was like a minute left in the period and McDavid puts it back and he just winds up and then he just drops it. And I'm like, oh my, we're losing this game.
Yeah.
I sent you a Snapchat like second period in and I sent you a snap where I was like, oop, it's looking like a shutout.
Yeah.
I was hoping to maybe jinx a bit, but it didn't work.
Yeah, somehow it doesn't work when it's not your goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember back in when I was playing Bantam hockey, so I was like 14, 15. Like, we were playing this one team. And their goalie was just stonewalling us. Like, we had so many more shots than them, so many great chances. But, like, we couldn't get anything by them. And then we got to, like, about 2 minutes left in the third period. They were up by one-nothing game. And our coach just started yelling shutout as loud as he could at the other team's goalie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's classy.
Yeah. It didn't work. We lost 1-0.
Wait, Dolphin, was it your coach your dad?
It was not my dad that year.
Though, me and Chris have kind of been side of that. When we used to play together in men's league, our goalie was unreal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, such an asshole.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, yeah, total asshole. He, like, wore a fedora and, like, flip-flops and cargo shorts and then, like, a hoodie. And game smoking, like, a black, and you're like, oh, my God, what is this guy doing? But then he goes full post-to-post splits in men's league games.
Yeah, he's a really good goalie, but he would just start ragging on everybody for every mistake. Actually sounds like me when I play.
Well, the thing is, it's in a game, and, like, I don't know, Chris, I feel like when you do it, it's a little different than when Josh does it, and especially, I'm sure you heard an earful playing defense in front of him for a while.
Yep, I sure did, and he told me himself, he said, I was the only defenseman he liked, and he was so mean to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was like that.
but, like, you couldn't say anything to him, because the dude was the reason we won half our games.
Yeah, totally.
And oh my goodness, they used to just tear into me.
Oh my God.
All right, Michael, what's your scalding hot take?
Scalding hot take to round out the night. Oh man, see, I can't say I said something about Detroit yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah, was that the hot take? It was about Detroit. I don't know.
Well, I can't really say it because it's immediately after I said it, Detroit won a game.
That is true.
Let's think a hot take. Hot take. My hot take was, I think I'm going to stick with it, actually, from what I said. My hot take is Toronto is not going to win a game this week.
Oh, that's right.
I like that one.
See, it somehow lived through yesterday. Literally jinxed everything else. So I'm hoping it has the strength to live through another jinx. And Toronto doesn't win a game this week.
I would say that's not like quite, you know, it's not quite as scalding hot as mine. It's hotter than Chris's. I'm going to put that hot take at like the cookie you get just out of the oven immediately afterwards.
And like the roof of your mouth melts off.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'll take it. I'll take a good middle ground.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, that wraps it up for the resurrection of episode 2.
Episode 2.5.
I have to say, though, guys, that was not as good as the one that we did yesterday.
Well, we're getting in front of it now.
Yeah.
I will not be as much of an idiot next week, and I will definitely keep all the audio, because, oof. All right. Yeah, you know, that's how it goes. Well, that has been episode 2. South of the Blue Line. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South. Follow us on Anchor, Spotify now, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube, anywhere you can find podcasts, South of the Blue Line podcast. That's where we'll be, and we'll have another episode for you guys the next week. Have a good night, boys.
See you later. Bye.